It's good to see you guys today. How are y'all doing?
Awesome.
It's gorgeous and fantastic outside. I'm glad to be here. Glad that y'all are here. If you don't know me, my name is Todd. I'm the pastor, and just an honor to be up here. Love you guys and love what God's called me to and called us to as a church. And just really, this whole season is so overly produced, I think, just about family, but like the syrupy idea of what family is. And I think it's more like maybe the tongue-in-cheek type Christmas Vacation family. Anybody ever watch that? I hope not. Don't go back and watch it. It's probably really inappropriate. But this is what I know is that God's called us to be family. And that's really what this series is about. And in fact, this Christmas season, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you guys like Christmas season? Yeah, I love it. Actually, I really do. I used to be kind of a Grinch, but now I really love the Christmas season. And I love it because I think as I've grown in that, I've got to watch my kids grow up in it. And there really is something fantastic about it because it's so family oriented. And that's a healthy, good thing, but it can also be a really painful and hard thing. In fact, there's more cases of depression and suicide at this time of the year than any other. And the reason for that is because family can be tough, can it?
Yes.
Come on, can family be tough?
Yes.
Yes. And so we're doing two things this holiday season. This is what we're doing. Here's the first one. We are fighting for family, and not necessarily the syrupy, sick, like, unrealistic family that you see on television and Hallmark movies in particular that are all the same and terrible, right? Come on, thank you, amen. I don't even know how that channel stays afloat because my mama watches it, that's how, I think. But we are fighting for what God's called us to in family. And that's what we're doing. And we're fighting for family and we're giving hope. This holiday season, we're doing two things. We're fighting for family and we're giving hope. And that's why we have the movie night, because I want you to invite people for two reasons. Number one, you need it, because everybody here needs family. And the reality is that family can be a mess, can it? But when we trust God and we follow His plan, we realize that number one, family is way bigger than biology. And that there's something good to be had in it if you're willing to fight for it. And so I just encourage you to come bring somebody. And here's why. And I feel like I'm kind of melding my message with what I want to share with y'all. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, can I be a little relaxed this morning? Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's still morning, isn't it? What service are we on? What time is it? It's 11:22. I have a clock in the back. And here's why. And I'm going to meld everything that I'm saying that I want you to get with family and the message. You know, we're starting this series, Never Home Alone. And that really just came to me because it's so easy to be alone and sometimes to relish in alone, because family can be hard. Can it?
Yes.
Yeah, it can. But we are called to God and to people. And I never want us to forget that.
Amen.
I've heard pastors say, and it's kind of messed up, ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. I've heard them say it. Ministry would be wonderful if it wasn't for people. I'm like, that's what ministry is.
Yes.
Everybody here has probably been hurt by somebody. Everybody here has probably been stabbed in the back, but we've probably been lied about, all of that. But let me tell you, family is worth the fight. So we're fighting for family and we're giving hope. In the foyer today on your way out, let me just encourage you, stop by the table that's on that wood wall there. Here's why. We're partnering with four schools to help underprivileged kids, working with counselors and administrators in these four public schools that are all primarily targeting underprivileged kids, working with those counselors so that we can help provide them a Christmas. Like, because many of them will wake up on Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning. Dear Lord, what day is it? Christmas morning. Christmas morning, and they may have nothing. And let me just tell you, Christmas isn't about gifts, but we as a church want to make sure that every kid feels loved and accepted and knows that somebody cares about them, because that's the essence of healthy family. So It's 30 bucks. We get to give a whole Christmas. It's pretty impressive what we're doing for 30 bucks per kid. Be a part of that. My family is sponsoring kids. I encourage you to do that as well. Why? Because we have to, if we say that we follow Jesus, we have to recognize that we're called to do what Jesus did. You know, this whole series is founded on one verse that is a life verse for me. It's Psalm 68:6, and it says, God makes a home for the lonely. He leads the prisoners into prosperity. Only the stubborn and rebellious dwell in a parched land. I love this verse, and I hate it at the same time. This is really the foundation for the whole series, which is the next 3 weeks, which is all about family. God makes a home for the lonely. Can y'all say that with me? You ready? God makes a home for the lonely. That's God's heart, to make a home for the lonely. On its best day, that's what the church is, because if you think that the church is a building and a service, you're missing it, because the church is people, and we have to have a heart to make a home for the lonely. So if you're here and you're homely, we love you anyway. I'm getting all tongue-tied this morning. If you're here and you're homely, we love you. Welcome to Church of the King. Here's your paper bag. That's so bad. Woo! Hey, I am living proof that God makes a home for the homely. My wife was blinded with love when she married me. She had to be, because of how I looked. Anyway, God makes a home for the lonely. Here's the thing. If you're here and you're homely, I'm still gonna get tickled. Woo! If you're here and you say, you know what? I'm not lonely. I'm not lonely. Like, I have an awesome family. I really do. My family is amazing, and I love my parents. I've got a great relationship with my parents, my in-laws, my family. It's great. If you're here and you are not lonely, let me tell you, God's call on your life is He wants to use you to bring people who are lonely into His home. Amen. Amen. That's and if you're here and you're lonely, connect, because God makes a home for the lonely. I love this portion of the verse. Here's what I dislike. He leads the prisoners into prosperity. That's great. Prosperity, by the way, isn't money. It's relationship. Only the stubborn and rebellious dwell in a parched land. Let me tell you why I dislike this portion of that verse. Because it's been my life many times. Because I've been stubborn and rebellious. And so anytime I look and like, I just feel like I just want to quit life and quit everybody and everybody. I'm in a parched land. Let me tell you why. It's very easy. I want to blame other people because of what they've done, because of what they've said, because of what's happened. I'm in a parched land, but this is what the scripture tells me. If I'm in that place, it's because of me. Because I'm being stubborn. And I'm being rebellious. Both of which have marked my life in some form or fashion. And as I've gotten older and somewhat wiser, though still often prone to stupidity, I've come to recognize that if I'm in this place, my tendency is to blame God and others and write off Him. Lots of people do this, write off Him and family, people in general. God makes a home. Have you ever looked for a home? You ever gone home shopping? Like, we gonna look for a home. Listen, when Lisa and I started the church, we'd emptied zeroed our bank account, and we still had to find a place to live, so we didn't have a whole lot of money, and we got this amazing real estate agent. She was awesome, but she kept showing us places that were like, this was our price range, and this is what she's showing us. I'm like, Dee Dee, what are you doing? You can't show us these places. Like, you're stirring up all these, this could be amazing, like, but it's $100,000 out of our price range. Like, no joke, like literally. And like, why are you showing us? And this is how we felt. And it was the reality. We're looking for, you can put that, keep that verse up. Looking for that home, because we were here, we knew no one, we were fairly alone, and we're looking for a home. And here's how we felt. Every place that she took us, our real estate agent, it was too nice. It's too nice. We couldn't afford it. We didn't qualify. Too nice, too expensive, couldn't afford it, we didn't qualify. I'm like, what are you doing? That's a bad feeling to feel like, you know what? Maybe family is something that other people on television have or people that I know have, but it's something that's not for me. Because I've tried it and I just, nope. Pain, misery. So maybe that's for them. I'm here to tell you, God makes a home for people. God makes a home for people. And it's miraculous when he does it. But why do people walk away from family? Why do people walk away from family? Three simple reasons. Because family is full of problems. Come on, somebody say amen. Is family full of problems? Yes or no? Amen. Absolutely. Family is full of problems. If you're talking family, you got problems. Just because that's part of the reason that's part of the how families are. It just they're full of problems. And the bigger the family, guess what? The bigger the problems. Why? Families full of problems. That's why people walk away. Why else? People walk away from family, write people off, all of that. Why? Because there's a problem. Here's the second reason. Family is full of pain. Family is full of pain. It just is. It's pain. It never ceases to amaze me the number of people that will say, well, you know, I've heard young ladies say this, and it just boggles my mind. It's youth, idealism, and ignorance speaking. And a young lady say, well, I just want a baby because I know that when I have a baby, like, I'm going to have somebody love me. I'm like, oh, you the baby because you don't understand that babies do not give love. I had four of them. They do not give love. You know what babies do? They take love. I just can't wait till I meet Mrs. Wright. I just know that God's going to give me this woman that's going to satisfy every one of my desires. Uh-huh. I know what you're thinking. It's going to fulfill me in every area. And like, And anybody who's been married for 5 minutes realizes that if you think that marriage is about you getting love, you getting pain, baby. That's what you getting. Because marriage ain't about getting love. It's about giving. And so people walk away from relationship. They walk away from family. They walk away from God because there's problems and pain. And people write off family. Why? Problems, pain, and here's what you got to know. And it's the reason why. Because family is full of people. Ain't no person perfect. Nobody's perfect. Family is full of imperfect, broken people who I firmly believe want to do the right thing. Most of the time, but end up falling short and doing something stupid. And you've heard the adage that hurt people. It's so true. And we've probably been on both sides of that statement. Hurting people hurt people. It's just true. And people write family off. And families in this world, family's never perfect. But it can be a place when God's at the center of it, that you're not lonely. And it's not a place where you're in prison to that pain, that misery, but you can walk in the prosperity. And if it's a parched land, it's probably because there's some stubbornness and rebellion in your own heart. And I don't say that condemningly. I say that because I've learned and am still having to walk it out that if I'm in a dry place relationally, it's me. That's hard. Man, I got a long way to go in a short time to get there. So y'all gonna listen real quick, okay? We're gonna look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, but we're gonna start with Abraham's family. And his daddy, I'm gonna read this quickly. It's Abraham's daddy, and this is what we see. We see this is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran was the father of Lot. Look at verse 28. So Abraham, his daddy, had three boys, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. But Haran the son, died in the Ur of the Chaldeans. See, this is where Abraham was from. This is where his daddy was from. Well, he had a brother who died while his father, Terah, was still living. So the daddy lost a child. Painful. Look at verse 29. Meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Look at verse 30. Abram's wife, but Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. Well, see, in that culture, that's a tremendous problem. That's stigma. That's lack of provision for you when you get old. It's a problem. So we have pain. We have problems. And look at verse 31. One day, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his grandson Lot, Haran's child, and moved them. So now Abram's getting moved by his dad. Even though he's a grown man, his daddy still has authority over him. And so he moves. He was headed for the land of Canaan. Everybody say Canaan. What do we know that as? Anybody heard that? Like the Canaan is the what land? The promised land. This is Terah. This is an Abraham. That promised land was something that God gave to Abram, the son. But at this point, it's his daddy that's heading towards Canaan. Why is that? You know, theologians are really kind of split on whether he was leaving because of his pain or maybe it was a call of God. But here's what I think. I think it's kind of both. Pain will bring us to the place of God if we trust him through it. And so he comes to Canaan, but they stopped at where? Where'd they stop? Haran, which is actually a town very far from Ur. It's in southern Chile. It's still in southern Chile. It's in southern Turkey. Haran is still there today. This is where they stopped. Why is that important? Because lots of people stop at the place of pain and they never get to the place of promise that God has for them because they write off people because of the problems, the pain, and they miss the plan of God in the middle of it. So here's what I have, three simple things so that you can experience a blessed family. That's really today's message. How do you experience the blessed family? How many of you here want a blessed family? Everybody does. How do you experience it? I think the story of Abram's family lets us know. Here's the first way. Here's the first way that we can experience a blessed family. Number one, answer yes to God's call on your life. Answer yes to God's call on your life. Let me just say this. There is a call of God on everyone's life, and it is a call first to him and second to people. Everybody's like, I can answer yes to God. But let me just remind you, when you say yes to God, he's going to call you first to him, but then he's going to call you secondly to people. Always, always. Because guess what God is most concerned with in this world? Come on. What is he concerned with? People. He's concerned with people. Answer yes. So simple, so hard. Just because something is simple does not mean that it's easy. If somebody puts a big 55-gallon drum full of oil in front of me and says, pick the drum of oil up, it's easy. I'm like, it's not easy. It's just simple. Big difference. Simple to say yes. Not always easy. Let's look at what God speaks to Abram in Genesis 12. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Look at this. This is God's call. Hey, Abram, you need to leave your native country. Hold on. Hadn't he left Ur and gone to Haran and then they settled there? Yes or no? Where's his native country? Wouldn't it be in Ur? Hadn't he already left it? Let me tell you, it doesn't matter where you are. When God calls out to you, he's calling you to leave where you are in the moment. He's saying, leave your native country, leave your relatives. What? Is he talking about like turning his back? Is like God's family, like turning your back on your biological family? No, not at all. Because in fact, his relatives went with him and your father's family. Wait, is he telling me to disown and dishonor my father? No. Here's what he's telling him, that you have to be willing to give up everything to follow God. And when you give up everything to follow him and you turn to him, you still get to keep all that, but it's just in a different way because now your priorities are set right with God first and you're called to him being number one. And when you get the call to God first, everything else is going to fall right in place. leave where you are. Like many people say that they answer yes to God, but they don't, because they honor their family more than they honor God. Let me just tell you right now, you can honor God and honor your family. But if you honor your family at the expense of God, you'll never have a proper understanding of what family is truly supposed to be. And if you think that family is supposed to look exactly like what we see on television with mother, father. Y'all remember the 50s sitcoms? Weren't they ridiculous? Leave It to Beaver and everything? That's not reality. No, that's not reality at all. Leave your native country, your relatives. Look at verse 5. He took his wife. Verse 2. He says, this is God speaking. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to get. When you say yes to God's call on your life, and everybody has a call of God on their life, you will know God has a people and a place for you. God has a people and a place for you. Do you know that? Listen to me. Do you know that God has a people and a place for you? Or have you written him off and have you written people off? And the reason that people write God and others off is because of the problems and the pain that they've experienced. And so they figure it's better to do it alone. But let me tell you, if you think that you can do it alone, here's what you're going to learn. Yes, you can, but you'll be miserable through all of it. You'll be bitter. You'll be unforgiven. You'll be hardened. And that's never God's heart for us. Because when we're called to him, we can't help but have a compassionate heart to be called to others. How do you experience a blessed family? Answer yes to God's call on your life. Look at verse 1, Genesis 12:1. Leave. We have to be willing to step outside of where we are and follow him. Here's the second thing. If number one is answer yes to the call of God, here's number two. Embrace the journey. Embrace the journey. What does that have to do with family? Everything. Everything to do with family. You know what? Let's read. Genesis 12:4-9. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot was with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran, and he took his wife Sarai's nephew Lot and all of his wealth, his livestock, and all of his people he had taken into his household at Haran. So he's leaving. You got that, right? But let me just tell you, there's no obedience unless you're actually stepping out into a place you might not know. So saying yes to God always means obedience. Verse 6, Abram traveled through the land. He's in Canaan as far as Shechem, and they came up beside the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I'll give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there. So the first time, y'all remember, the first time that God speaks to Abraham, he says, you need to leave your country. That's in verse 1 of chapter 12. Abram, leave your country, follow me, I've got a place for you. Now he's speaking to him a second time, and he's saying, this is the land that I'm going to give to you and to your descendants. And when God speaks it in verse 7, he says, look, the Lord appeared, this is the second time, he says, I'm going to give you this land to you and to your descendants. Is land nice to have? Come on. I'm going to give it to you and your descendants. Abram built an altar there and he dedicated it to the Lord. Look at verse 8. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country of Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. Look at this. He built another altar and he dedicated it to the Lord and he worshiped the Lord. He's building these altars so that he can remember what God's done and what God spoke to him and the promise that God told me if I'd leave this land, I'd be blessed. God told me when I got here that it's going to be land for my children, for my descendants. And then look at verse 9 because it's key. It's huge. I want you to get this. In verse 9, it says, then Abram continued traveling south by stages toward the Negev. Abram continued traveling by what? Everybody say this word. What is it? It's stages. embrace the journey. Life is about stages. Embrace that. Should we remember the past? Yes, we should remember the past. We just shouldn't reside there. If you live in the past, you're never going to get to the future that you know that God's called you to, because you're living in something that's already happened. And many people live in both the pain and the success of the past at the expense of their presence. And when you live in the past and when you reside in the past rather than just remember it, you are blinded to the present. And listen to me carefully, it will affect your future. Life is about stages. How did he travel? Because let me tell you, the first time that God spoke to Abram and the second time that God spoke to him was years apart. It's a long, long, long time between God showing up. And this is what we have to remember, that there may be some seasons where we go, God, where are you at? Continue traveling south by stages. What does that practically look like? It looks like this. When I'm around people that have kids and car seats and diapers, I think to myself, that's a cute and wonderful kid. And I remember when my kids were that age and how wonderful it was, because they're just so precious and innocent and cute and snuggly and wonderful. I love it. It's great. But I look at those people and go, thank God I'm not in that stage anymore. Ain't no diaper clean, and my youngest is 8 years old. I'm like, no diapers to clean up, like no car seats to buckle in. That's hard, but it was awesome. Amen. Because this is what I want you to get. You know, the first thing I want you to get, and when you say yes to God, you're saying yes and knowing that God has a people and a place for you. But when you embrace the journey, you can do this. You can live in the moment. And you may not always like it, but you can embrace it. I look back on those stages in the past and go, man, there were some tough times. I remember after our first one was born, and like sleepless nights, and like it's like 2 weeks in, and I'm sitting at this, I have such a vivid memory of this, sitting at the sink washing like the 15,000 bottle. You know, I'm like washing a bottle, and I'm thinking to myself, I actually say it out loud. It's like, what in the H-E double hockey sticks is happened here? Because it was so hard. And I look back now and go, that was nothing. That was nothing. And I can look back and go, you know what? I learned through that. You know what I learned? When you have a first kid, you learn two things real, real quick. Number one, you had way, way, way too much free time before you had kids. Way too much free time. Like, you realize how much you wasted your free time. The second thing that you learn is life's not about you. When you live in the moment, you learn in the moment. And you learn even in the pain. Man, I've been through a heck of a season. My wife and I have just been through a really crazy season. And it's been so, so painful. And we discussed that. Like, the season was so painful. I'm just unbearable. It was just miserable. And yet, through the pain, there was such intimacy with God and each other. And right before we went to bed, this is a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, and she's talking about all the pain and, you know, what is the Lord saying to you? And I said, yeah, I really feel like the Lord said, get ready for the new normal. She thought, I don't like that. And I just asked the question. I said, would you rather go back when it was easier, but we weren't as close to God? We weren't as close to you. We weren't as close to each other. I wasn't as close to you. And we weren't growing so much. And she finally said, no, I think I'd rather this. I hate the season. It's hard. But I love what it's doing. Does this make sense? Embrace the season. Embrace the season. Number three, we're wrapping up here. How do you experience a blessed family? Answer yes to God, because he has a place and a people for you. Embrace the journey. Learn how to live in the moment and love every moment. And here's the third thing. Believe God's word. believe God's word to you. Genesis 15. Before I go to Genesis 15, I left you at Genesis 12. God first spoke to him and said, leave your country, I got a place for you. The second thing he spoke was when he got to that country, he said, this is your land. This is your land and your descendants are gonna get it. But here's what happened. Literally, the next verse, there's a famine that strikes. And you know what Abram does? He leaves. He walks away because the moment was painful. He walks away from the promise that God, he goes to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. Lots of people, when family gets tough, they walk away from God because there was a difficult, unexpected, undesired thing that happened. They walk away. I get it. I actually very much get it. Abram did the exact same thing. It got hard. He left the place that God had promised him. And of course, God came down with a lightning bolt and zapped him, right? No, he didn't. Abram went to Egypt and did one of the most despicable things ever. He passed off his wife, who was beautiful, as his sister, and then gave his wife to Pharaoh, who thought that, oh my goodness, this is a beautiful woman and this is just your sister, so that Pharaoh could sleep with her. He pimped out his wife. Walked away from God, goes to a foreign place, pimps out his wife. It's Bible. And then when he finally comes to his senses and he goes back to the place that God had promised him, all God does is repeat what he told him the last time. When he gets there, he's like, this is your land. He doesn't beat him up. He doesn't zap him with fire and brimstone from heaven. He simply repeats, this is your place. Why is this important? And why is it important to you believing God? Because that is one of the biggest moments of grace that I see in all of the Bible. And I don't understand people who say that the Old Testament is full of God's wrath and anger. I see more grace, or as much grace in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. And when we walk away from the place that we should be, God always leaves an open door for us to walk back. But you have to believe him. In chapter 15, God speaks again. He speaks again. This is the third statement that God makes. Abram's living in the land, and this is what he says in verse 1 of chapter 15. Sometime later, so remember, it's a journey. Life's a journey by stages. Sometime later, by the way, we all get to that place where it feels like it's been a long time. Like, all right, it's later and later and later. God, you're going to show up? The Lord spoke to Abram in a vision, and he said to him, don't be afraid, for I'll protect you. Your reward will be great. What do you have to believe? You have to believe that God will protect you, that your reward will be great. Don't be afraid. Anytime you operate in fear, it's really just a lack of believing that God will protect you, your reward will be great. You'll never be able to do that unless you deal with death, because death is neither failure nor final. I continually go back to Holocaust victims and their families. Could God protect them? Go to Corrie ten Boom, who had a vibrant relationship with the Lord. She lived, her family died. She didn't fear. Her reward was great. Do you believe God's word? And then when he says, don't be afraid, I'll protect you, your reward's great, Abram challenges God. Abram replies, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings? I don't even have a son. He's focused on what he doesn't have. Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, the servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so as one of my servants will have to be my heir. And the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir. You'll have a son. Let me just tell you, family is for everybody. I don't care if you've never been married. And don't plan on ever being married. You can still have, and everybody on your family biologically has died. You can still have an heir, and you can still have family if you believe God. He says, you'll have a son of your own who'll be your heir. In verse 5, then the Lord took Abram outside and said, look up in the sky, count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you'll have. and verse 6, and this is huge. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Here's what I want you to get. If you want to be, like, I want a blessed family. Say yes to God. Embrace the journey that is life. Believe God's word, because you've got to know this. Your faith facilitates your future. Your faith facilitates your future. It is the tactic of the enemy to get you to focus on the pain, the problems, and what you don't have but want. Faith looks at what you don't have and trusts God to protect you and provide for you whatever it is through all of it. Your faith will facilitate your future. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous. Your faith facilitates your future. What do you believe? I believe that though I've messed things up in the past, I'm back in the place where God's called me to be. And that I'm going to believe God of what he has for my family, for our future, for my descendants. I'm going to believe God about what he's called us to as a body, that we are a home for the lonely, that we're full of people who love God and love others and reach out to those who are hurting. And we do our darndest to do everything we can not to hurt people, but it's people. And when there's pain, you know that there's people. But we hold on to the promise in humility. We say, Lord, I'm saying yes to you. Saying yes to you. Lord, I'm going to embrace the journey, even if I'm in a stage that just stinks. And I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you. I want everybody here to have a home that's not lonely, that's full of life, that you're not a prisoner to your pain and your misery. You're not a prisoner to the depression, the suicidal tendencies. I recognize what happens at this time of the year. But you firmly know there's a place of prosperity for you. This is not about money. This is about the one thing that has true value in this world, and it is relationship. And may you have deep, rich relationships. First, may that relationship be with him, and secondly, with the people around you. Let's bow our heads. My heart for you is that you understand what it takes to have a healthy family. To say yes to God means you say no to yourself. It's very hard for many, many, many people, most if not every person. It's very hard. To say yes to God means you have to say no to your will, your ways, your desires. To embrace the journey and realize that stages, and some stages stink, but you can learn from that. And you can learn, here's what you can learn, that God can be trusted. God is a people in a place for you. He's a people in a place for you. Your faith facilitates your future. You know, I want to share, so I actually put it in my notes, and I do want to share it. This is how God builds. Y'all can look up here. This is how God builds. He builds three ways. The first one is relationally. God builds relationally. That means that he reaches out to people for a relationship with them. And then he builds revelationally. That means there is a moment where the light bulb goes off and you get it. A lot of people have a head knowledge of God, but they don't necessarily have a heart knowledge of God. And the difference is that light bulb moment where it goes from head to heart. It's a revelation. It's the only way to describe it is like, ding, the light bulb goes off. The closest thing I've ever experienced in the natural world is like when I was trying to figure out algebra in high school and I couldn't figure it out. And I was looking at the problem and it made no sense. And then all of a sudden, in a moment, there was a light bulb that went on and it made perfect sense. Anybody else have that moment? That's what it is spiritually, that you realize it's greater than this. Something happened. God builds relationally. That means he reaches out for a relationship with you. And there's that light bulb moment. It's really a moment of conversion when we say yes. And here's the thing, the last one. He builds generationally. What can my family be when my grandkids are my age? What can this church be when my grandkids are my age? We can reach thousands. We can look like our community, not a white church or a black church or a Hispanic church. We can, what could we be? Say yes to God. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here and you've been hurt by people. You've been hurt by family. And I'm just telling you right now, God's calling out to you. This isn't me. This is a God deal. God's calling out to you and he's calling you first to him. He loves you and he knows you and he's forgiven you. And if you're gonna say yes to him, you're gonna know him. You're gonna receive his forgiveness. And then with others, you'll do the same. You'll know him. People are people. People are gonna hurt you and let you down. It's just what they do. And be able to live in the moment, walk in humility, forgive him and move on. It's hard, I know. It's been very hard. But at the end of the day, you'll choose whether or not you believe God. Maybe you're here today and this message was for you, and you need to know that God knows you and he loves you. And he knows the pain that you've walked through. He knows the problems that you've endured. But I'm telling you right now, he has a people and a place for you. It's not a place of perfection, not yet. That's heaven. But the family of God can be a representation of the peace, the love, the joy, the place that God has for you. If you let it, not perfect, but it can be. And maybe you're here and you've lost faith in family. Maybe you've lost faith in like your family. Maybe you've lost faith in spiritual family. I'm here to tell you, both of them are just shadows of what God truly has for us. Look to him. Maybe you hear this message, say, Pastor, this message really was for me. I'm not gonna embarrass you or call you up, but that's you. Just say, Pastor, this message was for me. I know it. Just raise your hand. Just say, Pastor, this was for me. Thank you. Lots of hands all over. You can put them down. And maybe you're here today and you need to know God. Maybe you have the head knowledge you know about him, but there's been a heart thing that you know hasn't taken place. And I'm just telling you today, he is here and he is with you and he is waiting on you. God knows you and he loves you and he wants you to know him. See, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came. I mean, the Son of God, God squeezed into an earth suit so that you could know him. That's how much he loves you. And Jesus died on that cross. His blood was shed to pay the price for your sin. So how do you get to know, how do you go from that head moment to that heart moment? It's really simple. A, you admit I'm messed up. I'm a sinner and I know it. B, you believe. You believe that God knows you, that he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for your sins. And it's Jesus's blood that washes us clean. You believe. And then here's the third thing. It's C, you confess. You open your mouth and you say, God, I'm yours. Maybe you're here and that's you today. God's knocking on the door of your heart and he's calling you to open it. If you're here and you say, Pastor, today I know I need to surrender my life to him. I've not done that before. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I know. I know. All right, y'all can look up here. You know what that means? That means all of us are the family of God. Are we gonna act like it? Most of the time, probably. Sometimes, definitely not. But here's what we get to do. We get to, in spite of the brokenness of who we are and the humanity of us, we get to answer the call of God on our life, and I love it. And the call of God is first to him and to other people, and that excites me. Because there are a lot of hurt and broken people, particularly at this time of the year. So are we gonna reach them is the question. That's an individual mandate. I can say as a church, yes, we're gonna do it. We've got the program. But let me tell you, nobody encountered the love of God because of a program. They encountered the love of God because of people. Nobody encountered the love of God because somebody wrote a check. They encountered the love of God because somebody cared enough to give their best and their time and their talent and their treasure to see people encounter God and their lives transformed. And I'm telling you, that's what God's called us to. And that is what healthy family does. Anyway, I'm done. Y'all stand up. Listen, if you need prayer, don't walk out of here. I'm going to pray and we'll dismiss, so don't step out yet. But if you need prayer, don't walk out of here without connecting with someone. If you did make a decision today, and you, let me just encourage you, connect with someone. Fill out the connection card where it says, I've decided. Bring it to one of our ministry team members. Drop it at the connection center or in the boxes by the doors. And this we can know, when we follow him, the best is yet to come. Father, I pray blessing on everyone here. May we walk out of here trusting you and saying yes to you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. God bless. Y'all are just...